How's it? My name is Lassetti. I'm a tour leader with Explore. Come on, let me show you something. Oh, careful. Can you see it?
Oh, trust me. It can see you.
There, between the trees.
It's not every day you get to see a rhino on a walk.
I guess not everyone is taken to the right places, but you will be if you explore. For global adventures, search exploreworldwide.com and don't just travel, explore.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to After Work Drinks, your twice weekly dose of news, pop culture, and Pinot Noir, brought to you by magazine editors and best friends Isabel Truman and Grace O'Neill.
Hello everyone, and welcome to dinner party number two.
We are so excited to be back, and we have a lot of action in store for you.
We do. We have three fantastic women on this week. We're very stoked to share these chats, which were like, these were just like very long wine-filled conversations that we really had to work to cut down because they were like 3 hours each.
First up this week, we have Keisha Castle-Hughes, who is an actress extraordinaire. She's been one of my friends for years. She is the best kind of friend. She's always there when you need her. She is so kind and caring and considerate. You would never know it by looking at her because she is so low-key and would never talk about her accomplishments, but she literally was nominated for an Oscar aged 11, which is just chill. For her role in her lead role, Best Actress in Whale Rider. And since then, she has been working nonstop, living in LA for her whole career up until a recent move to New York. She's been in Star Wars, she's been in Game of Thrones, and every time she comes on, I fucking scream. She has been in The Walking Dead, and now she plays a lead role in Dick Wolf's new series, FBI Most Wanted.
And then we have Tat and Chelsea, so Tatiana Waterford and Chelsea Fairless, who are our favourite power couple. Tat is an Australian stylist who's moved to LA, and she works with everyone, Dua Lipa, Katy Perry, Sean Paul. She has toured the world with all of pop's biggest names and is just incredible. And her wife is Chelsea, who we've actually interviewed on the podcast before. Chelsea is a digital strategist, kind of New York turned LA power woman, and she is best known for launching the very successful Instagram Every Outfit on Sex and the City, which is basically, I think Vogue called it the most influential fashion Instagram in the world, which we agree with.
Yeah. Also, in a very AWD way, we had a few technical difficulties, so the audio in that one's probably not as great as you've now come to expect post Skype era, but please hang in there because the chat is definitely worth it.
Please enjoy, and we will be back for a normal episode on Wednesday, so you can look forward to that too.
Bye, guys.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so ready to drink this wine.
Open it up. What have you got?
Okay, so I've just had the most embarrassing already. I like popped into a store downstairs to get this bottle. And usually I'm so vigilant. I've got the mask, the gloves, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm just getting one bottle of wine. And it's just like a tiny shop. An AP presser down there taking pictures, of course. So I was like, I'm going to become the face of like the coronavirus doesn't apply to millennials in New York City. Buying, like, buying the essentials, literally, just buying a bottle of wine and a bunch of green onions with no mask and gloves.
We are putting that as our new logo if you end up getting papped for that, because that is us all over.
Our friend was walking outside the office in Sydney, and it was a blustery day, and she's like really, really pale white, and she was walking outside and it was like raining. Yeah, and she goes like this, and then this guy just took her photo without asking, and she kind of like was frowning at him, and then her photo is literally used every single Sydney winter when there's like a bad wind. It's all over the news.
What? So what wine did you pick up? What drop have you got going?
It's called Stephylus, so it sounds a little bit like
Yeah, it sounds like syphilis.
But it's made with organic grapes.
God, this moisturizer is intense.
You're glowing.
Okay, we need to say hello. We are talking to Keisha Castle-Hughes, who is one of my BFFs, sorry, Grace, who lives in New York City. She's an actress originally from New Zealand, and we love her.
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm so stoked to be on Work Drinks with you guys.
Same.
I'm like a day one fan.
Yeah, long time listener, aren't you?
Yep, I am.
I love it.
You've so been happy. There since the very fresh days when we had an idea what we were doing, through the Skype era and on to now, back in a Skype era.
So I had like an anxiety dream about this, about After Work Drinks. Like,
we completely understand.
Like, I had, like, I was like in the dream, and like Izzy was calling me nonstop, and I just kept screening her calls.
Oh my God.
Like, I felt so guilty, and I was like running around New York City. And I was just like, as if I was like running away from, like, the further I ran, like, the more
the nightmares come true.
Unless you keep calling. Like, it was this weird, I woke up like, I was like, finally got on the phone, and I couldn't talk properly. So I sounded like I was like a babbling.
So funny.
Because I think, like, I get quite bad anxiety, and I haven't really had anything to be anxious about beyond like things that are, that I understand for the first time are completely out of my control, like a world.
Yeah.
What are your quarantine recommendations? This is our first official question. Hit us.
Okay. Well, I've been trying to like be conscious of like not try to get too like sucked into just like watching anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like also too, I'm like, oh, there's like, it's like kind of a nice time to like consciously watch stuff. Do you know, like to be like, there's a lot of like films that I think I saw when I was a kid that like now I appreciate way more that I like don't, I remember seeing on TV, but I don't. So I've just been like on this like big, like I wanted to watch all these epics. So I like back to back just watched like Braveheart, Gladiator, The Patriot.
Oh, love. So me and Izzy watched Gladiator in Rome after we went to the Colosseum.
Yes.
We were in this Roman mood. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, I had no idea about anything. And I was at the Colosseum.
I was like, Izzy, I was like, men had to fight lions. I'm not joking. And she was like, what the fuck?
I literally know nothing. And then they were like, the Colosseum, when they were building it, it had a lake in it, and they used to have boat wars in it. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
And they're like, women weren't allowed to come. And Izzy was like, that's sexist. In our tour guide, it was like 1 AD.
God, they said that women could, it was something like women could come, but they could only, and I was like, oh, that's great, or something. That would be a fun activity to do with your, like, husband. And then they were like, but they had to be up with the slaves. Noble women were just shoved up at the back with the slaves. I was like, fuck that, obviously you just wouldn't go.
It's also just like, just from like a viewing perspective, do you know, like we've been so, I don't know, it's so funny, the last 10 years are so saturated by superhero movies. And like it's like, you know, like movies that are like really kind of like removed from like real humans, like we don't, you know, like it's really hard for, I think, people to make those big, like, biopic, like, epic films about historical.
Yeah, that's so true.
And, you know, without people having superpowers. And I was, like, watching these movies, like, oh, my God, man, like, someone stole, like, Mel Gibson's wife and he, like, got Scotland back, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. I have got, like, a big thing for battle sequences. I don't know what it is.
I love them.
What would be your, like, one recommendation for people in isolation?
Of movies?
Yeah.
I loved Last of the Mohicans. It's, like, such an epic film. Daniel Day-Lewis.
I haven't seen it.
Daniel Day-Lewis, yeah. Right? Yes,
he's
I haven't.
Stunning. Like, so I definitely recommend that. I also just listened to this podcast that I enjoyed, which was just, like, called The Jungle Prince, which was just, like, this short, like, journalist, like, narrative, like, from the New York Times. And it's, like, 2.5 hours long, and it's, like, about this niche little story. This journalist, like, met this family who had basically, like, for the last 50 years just taken up this abandoned palace. And said,
I feel like we're going to love this.
Yeah, it said that they were the heirs to this this big Indian, like, royal family. It's just really nice to listen to something that's not, like, current events, that's not, like, completely, you know, because that's the thing I'm sure we're all struggling with right now is, like, I mean, I'm such a consumer of the news and such a consumer of, like, current events, and it's hard when it's all just about one thing.
I have been switching off quite a lot. I've literally been making sure that so at 1 p.m. every day, Jacinda does a press conference, uh-huh. and I just get alerts on my phone whenever she goes live on Facebook, and so I flick it on and I'll listen to what she has to say and how many deaths or whatever, and then I just turn it off, and I just haven't really been consuming much else in terms of the news.
Yeah, it's hard, and it's like, and especially in places like here, like in New York, it's like I have a dedicated half an hour, like in the morning, like after I've got up, after I've, like, done something. That mm-hmm. just opening my eyes and diving into it, you know, like even if I just, like, brush my teeth, make a cup of tea, and then just, like, have, like, half an hour, like, quick little update, okay, so I know what's going on. But it's quite easy to get, like, it becomes all consuming. And so, yeah, this, like, the Jungle Prince, this podcast, it was, like, it's fascinating. It's a really fascinating story.
Yeah, I love the sound of that.
I celebrated my 30th birthday in isolation.
What was that like?
Well, I thought I was super okay about turning 30. I thought I'd, like, completely curbed any stress that, like, I'd seen happen with my friends. You know, people, like, you know, like, there's, like, a little, like, anxiety or you feel a little stressed about it. I was like, I'm chilling, man. Like, I don't give a shit about turning 30, whatever. Lo and behold, 6 weeks out from my 30th, I start having, like, a full-blown nervous breakdown.
Which did coincide with, like, a terrifying global pandemic.
Exactly. And I was just like, and I turned into, like, massive, I was just like, full, like, birthday party. I love my birthday anyway. Like, I always have, like, really big birthday parties. And so then I turned into, like, birthday party Zilla and was just, like, all over the show. And then, yeah, and then we went into lockdown, like, 2 weeks before my birthday. And I was still, like, acting as if I was going to have my birthday party. Like, I was like, I was like, I'm going to be in a machine gown on the streets of New York City with a bottle of champagne. I don't care if the world's burning. And so then the night before was, like, I'm okay. And they would be, like, they'd organise to do, like, a Zoom thing. And I was just like, oh, that's the last thing I want to do.
And then on the day, I get a Zoom link at, like, 5 a.m. New Zealand time. And I woke up to it, I think, 4 hours later. And I was like, sorry, I missed this. Happy birthday. And she was like, we're still on the call. I was like, I'm definitely not getting on now. Oh, I just, like, didn't text her
24 hours.
I just didn't text her back. I was like, no, this is not for me.
Insane. I was on Zoom for 7.5 hours. I had, like, a dance party on there. I got so drunk that I had, like, 4 bottles of champagne.
The best.
And then
that's awesome.
I got so drunk that after, like, everyone had got off, I was, like, really concerned about how people got home.
You're like, guys, don't drink and drive.
No, I was. Like, my friend who lives far, like, in Long Island, I'm texting her, like, babe, like, I just feel... Please text me when you get home.
This happens to you sometimes. You get in this, like, when she's quite drunk, she gets in this kind of mind frame where she gets something stuck in her head and she's like, this has happened. And I'm like, I don't think it has. It was something like, I think that kind of happened with me once where you were like, I was just so worried about you. And I was like,
oh, no, it's always something really like overbearing. And like, you know, people are like, I'm fine. I'm like, no, please send me a picture. Show me that you're
text me when you get home.
Like, and it actually ended up being such a beautiful day. Like one of my like dear friends, James, had organized, like I had like a bunch of people send me flowers and like send me like seamless and like food deliveries all day. Like my Zoom party was epic because it was this kind of bizarre thing where it was like the first birthday, because I've lived overseas for so long. It was the first birthday that I've had in a long time that I would just celebrate it with like all my favorite people. Do you know? And not just like, I mean, like that's so shit if anyone hears it. So I'm like, I wish you weren't at my party like last time. But, but you know, like often like it's geographical in terms of who you can celebrate with.
Yeah, totally.
And like, it was just like at one point, it's like my friend, like one of my best friends in Sydney, like popped in and said hi. And my friends in Auckland were able to come and say hi. And like my friends in London, like it was just, I was like, oh, wow. And you get to see all these people. And yeah, my dear friend James had like organized this like big tribute, and one of the producers from my show actually lived in the same building as me, and she knocked on the door just as I was like received this. It was like a 30 minute long video from all my family and friends all around the world.
So cute.
Like all doing this, like they were all doing like dances and songs, and like it was edited all together, and I was like a mess just like sobbing with excitement to see them all. And I answered the door as this producer, she was like, oh, I heard it's your birthday. I just wanted to drop off a bottle of champagne. I was like, oh, well.
Do you think turning, like people put such a huge kind of thing on turning 30. Did you feel like weird about that? Like, because you were kind of saying you thought you wouldn't and you were just fine. And then suddenly you were like, I don't know why.
It's a bizarre feeling for sure. Like, because I think if anything, like, the only thing
Do you think maybe like the lead up to it is kind of worse than the actual thing happening?
For sure. And it's just like, if anything, it's just more like an opportunity. I think like it's such a milestone in terms of stopping and like having like a real hard look at like, you know, where you're at in life.
Mm.
And, you know, like the things you've done, and like, and I've had a very like busy life.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, and I've been like, you know, like I've been working since I was 11, and you know, like my daughter's about to turn 13, and like, you know, and so I was just like, you know, there were all these like big things that I think that I'd seen other people panic about that I would liken it to, where I was like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Like, I don't worried about, you know, like, I don't feel worried about my family. I don't feel worried about my career. I don't feel, you know, I love
living where I'm at. City, yeah.
You know? But it's just like, if anything, like I was more surprised by just like the personal aspect of like, it was like this really kind of nice like moment of like, oh shit, like it's a big reflection of like everything you have done.
Mm.
And like, and feeling, I like, it's so corny, and but you like, it is really, you just like, I was like, oh, like I really feel like an adult.
Yeah.
Like, and but not in like an obnoxious, like when I was 21 and I felt like an adult.
I know.
You know, like I was like, I'm an adult now, get back. You know, but I was like, oh, like I'm an adult, and being an adult is being messy and being flawed, and being a woman is being, you know, like flawed and like, and you know, and not having everything right and like being okay with that.
Yeah, I feel like as you get older, you just kind of get a lot more chill in who you are as a person, and you don't really care about all this weird shit you used to care about before, and you don't care about everyone liking you like you used to, and you don't care about. I don't know.
Leslie Headland, who wrote that movie Bachelorette, I remember reading an interview with her like 3 or 4 years ago, and she just turned 30, and the interviewer asked her something about it. And she was like, dude, I hope every young woman who reads this realizes that turning 30 is fucking sick, because you're all the good parts of your 20s that you shed so much of the insecurities. You stop giving a shit about so much of the stuff that you used to care about. It's like, she was like, everyone should be excited about getting into that decade. And it was the first time I'd heard someone talk about it that way. And it was so good for my brain to be 22 and to have someone psyching me out to be looking forward to being more mature and better in my career and whatnot, than to have that scary.
It is exciting. Like, and it's like, and it's also till I found, I was like, there was like, I had lots of like shifts because I just moved. I also moved house in the middle of this pandemic. like the only person in New York City that was the only person in New York City dealing with a real estate agent. But it worked in my favor because I like waited them out and I got to move to Greenwich Village.
I was gonna say, I reckon that might have been a clever move.
But it was like stuff like that, I think, particularly in my 20s, like, you know, decisions like that would be like just so incredibly crippling. Do you know, like, it was just like, and I would like constantly seek and need outside validation, whether that was from my mom or whether that was from someone I was dating or my friends, you know, like, and on every single tiny little thing. And I moved to New York with not very much stuff. I don't have any furniture and stuff, so I've been furnishing a whole new house.
It's so exciting
just like stuff where, like, really simple stuff, like, makes me so excited, where I'm like, I love drinking tea, so like I'm going to buy like this really nice like teacups, and like, I'm going to buy a creamer jug, and I'm going to buy a teapot, and I'm going to buy nice teaspoons and a sugar container.
You are the funniest, most bougie person ever. Keisha literally just, she is, we'll go to like a New York market, and then we're walking through the market, and I look at her, and she's bought like $200 worth of tea. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I can relate. I spent $20 on strawberries yesterday.
Moving along, what we asked everyone that came to our little dinner parties to bring a dinner party topic that they would like to discuss. What have you come up with? Did you read my email?
I did read the email.
Good girl.
You know what I was thinking about? I've been having a lot of like bizarre social anxiety with all of this newfound like online interaction.
I love this topic. I completely agree.
For my birthday party, when I was having the Zoom, half an hour before, I like had a mental breakdown and sent like out a message to like cancel it. I just like, it's bizarre. I think the thing is that it feels like we're so connected, right? And there's like lots of people reaching out, and because we're all at home, there's not really any excuse to, you know, to like, well, there is, like, you can just say no. But like, my time zone is like, in New York, the time difference in New York sucks for everywhere. Like, it doesn't.
It does.
It really sucks. And so I've been having these weird things where like, I won't answer FaceTime calls, like when people call me, because like, it's just like too much for me. I'm like, oh, I'm not ready for this. And it feels super invasive. But then I'll wake up and see like a bunch of my friends were on the Zoom, and I'll like feel super left out.
Yeah, that happened to me as well.
And then I get like, and I got like really upset about it a couple weeks ago, and like sent them a message and was like, you know, even if it's 4 a.m, it would be nice if I felt included.
They're just like, you just ignore us 24/7. I know, I feel the same. And I also feel like quite overwhelmed by how many people are wanting to speak all the time. And I get that everyone has so much free time now and everyone wants to chat, but like, when you have, well, I don't know, we do the podcast as well, so we're chatting all the time, and then we're chatting with other people, and then I get off this, and then suddenly someone's like, oh, we were supposed to catch up yesterday, let's have a call. And I'm like, God, I just don't have that much personality to go around.
It requires a lot of energy as well, like particularly screen. Like, there's, you know, obviously there's like select few people in my life, like my closest friends, you have, I don't care, like I'll put it on. You know, like my cousin puts it on, and my nephews are running around, and like it's just their background.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't have that like kind of established in terms of like a way that you communicate, it's pretty hard, I find, to just be like, oh, are you cool with just being in the background? Like, people want your full attention. Like, they want me sitting in front of a screen, looking at them, talking to them. And they're like, well, what else have you got to do? I'm like, I don't know,
just not this, something other than this.
I feel like as well, with probably something the three of us have in common, is like when you've grown up somewhere and moved away from somewhere and moved to a second place, you tend to have like a very splintered set of friends. So you have maybe like lots of individual friends, but it's not like you can knock out a group chat once a week and that's everyone caught up with. It's like you've got your friends from home and your friends from the first city you lived in, and your friends from work and your friends from whatever. And then all of a sudden, when you add all those things up, it feels like 20 fucking people you need to talk to on any given week.
Yeah.
And you do like them all and you care about them all, and you end up feeling bad or that you're neglecting them
if you're not doing it. But it's like if you like honored all of these friendships as much as you wanted to every week, you'd have no time to get anything else done.
No, I feel like that. I feel like people have a massive group chat and that's their whole friendship group sorted. And I have like a massive group chat, another little group chat, and then a billion just single chats that I talk to people. And then I'm like, this is like a full-time job.
And when you've lived like that thing, like when you've lived away already, like I'm relatively good at like keeping in contact with people, you know, and so it's like, I feel like super overwhelmed all of a sudden by this idea that like, I'm like, well, like I've been very like selfishly making it like all about me because I've got no perspective at the moment except for thinking about myself. But, you know, like where I've literally been like, well, has my friendship not been enough? Like, I'm always trying to be in contact with you. Like, why do you want to spend the time all of a sudden?
Yeah.
You know, like, stuff like that where, you know, where I'm, and then I've also had anxiety attached to, well, if I don't participate now in all of this, will I regret it?
Mm.
Like, I've had all this bizarre, like, oh, well, when this is all over, will I be the person who's like, remember that time, guys, that we all stayed up on Zoom all night? And I'm like, oh, God, I went to bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
You will not regret that.
The Zoom FOMO.
Yeah.
It's the only FOMO I can have at the moment.
It is funny, though, because I felt like when this came in, my first thought was, this is going to be great because it's just a kind of 2 month period where you can just rest up and maybe focus on doing other stuff that has nothing to do with social, like, what's the word, commitments, social commitments, like not having commitments to hang out with people. I was like, that'll be really great. And then all of a sudden it just emerged that you had much more social commitments than you would if this wasn't happening, because everyone's at home and everyone's like, oh my God, you're at home, like you're free to chat. And it's so nice. This is the thing, it is so nice when you get talking to people. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And you do get anxious. There is just something weird about Skyping or calling someone that feels formal. And then as soon as you get on the phone, you're like, oh, hey. But it feels like you're gearing up for this big thing.
This is something that we never really talk about our jobs or careers in our life. So much so that just then, as you were talking, I found out you were on Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Just then. While you guys were chatting. And you did your first film at age 11, which was The Whale Rider, and it was such an amazing film. And it was directed by Nikki Caro, who's just directed the new Mulan movie, which I am gagging to see.
So excited to see it.
And we bumped into her at that cafe in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd literally just been to the set of Mulan and seen her in action directing it when we bumped into her at the cafe. And I was like, I'm just going to not bother saying that because she'll be like, what's happening right now?
She's such a legend, though. I love her.
Yeah, she's so clever. And then, so obviously, you were the lead role aged, mm-hmm. how old were you, 11?
I was 11, yeah.
And I rewatched it when I landed in New Zealand, because I was really, when I landed in New Zealand, I was like, God, this feels like home. It is so nice to be home. And I hadn't seen The Whale Rider since I was a kid, because I think, I'm pretty sure everyone just, it was just the biggest movie ever, yeah, and we huge, all watched it at schools, and I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, and obviously since I'd been your really good friend, and so I watched it back, and it was just like the cutest thing in the world watching like my friend being like this little sassy brat. I was like, yes, it's such a feminist movie. I had no idea, because obviously I saw it when I was a kid.
It is a really feminist movie, and I watched it recently, like I watched it in the last year for the first time since I was like 12.
Crazy.
And like a big part of, I watched it because my daughter's about to turn 13, and I was like,
yeah, did you watch it with her?
Yeah, that must be a weird feeling to like, because I think you feel, you know that you feel old when you're a kid, and it's not until you see kids when you were that age where you're like, God, I really had it wrong.
And she was just here in New York with me, actually, like she was here for like 2 months, and it was so funny because it was like, she's at the age, it's the first time that I remember like what it was like to be that age. Like I actually remember it.
Yeah.
Do you know, like we have memories of being children. We like I remember things that happened when I was 7, but like I remember being 12. Like, and I remember like those feelings and like, and watching it in her and someone that's like, the apple does not fall far, that is so much like me.
And that's so cool as well, being able to look back and like actually watch, literally watch yourself. And so you were nominated for an Academy Award for that and you went to the Oscars. How old were you when you went to the Oscars and what did you pick to wear?
When I went to the Oscars when I was 13. And I knew I wanted to wear a pink dress.
Cute. I want to see a photo. I feel like I haven't seen you there.
And Liz Mitchell, who's like a New Zealand designer, designed my dress. It was a really beautiful dress, and she did all this like crystal detailing of like there's like silver ferns on it. It was like
so cute.
I remember I it was like the shoestring. It was like, oh, very, yes, like,
no,
like,
I do know this. Yeah, it's fucking gorgeous.
Like a 90s bias cut with the shoestring straps. But I remember because I was 13.
Oh my God, you're so like fucking suggested cute. It
would be more elegant to have that little like cape over top. And I remember being furious because I just like wanted to get my tits out.
Keisha.
And like, you know, and they were like, oh, well, you know, like you're nominated in this role where you're like a child and you are a child. You know, I was like 13, like I got these brand new babies and I want the world to see them.
This is like actually gorgeous. It hasn't dated like at all.
No, it's a really beautiful dress. It's so gorgeous. But what a surreal like period of my life for sure. Like,
but super- I think even because you grew up, like you grew up from age 11, that was your first leading role, straight into the Academy Awards, straight into the Hollywood circuit, moving to LA. And because you grew up in that way, it's really funny whenever I talk to you because you're, the way you think of everything is so different because you grew up in it. And so, for example, like mm-hmm. with you, you, the people you know, you don't even think that that's, you don't, you'll just, it's not even a thing because they are just normal people to you because you've grown up like that since you were a child. Like, do you think it kind of changes your perception of celebrity, like the term celebrity and everyone's obsession with these people who are essentially just people?
Absolutely. And it was it was an interesting time. Like, I went to the Oscars in 2004, which was like kind of pre-social media and yeah. like what it is now, which is so fascinating to think how like quickly that has advanced and how like deeply part of our life, because it's really not that long ago. But then, like, you know, there was no Twitter, there's no Instagram, there's no, you know, there was not this, like, there was still celebrities where you saw pictures in magazines about things that happened like weeks ago,
that
would be the first time that we got that picture. Like, be like, oh, like Brad and Jen did this thing like a few weeks ago and everyone went, oh my God. Whereas right now we're living in this like space where we're so used to like real time, like we know exactly what's happening all the time. And so like celebrity was as well, and so like I definitely, and like growing up in it and like around it, there were certainly people that like I admired and like would feel, you know, somewhat starstruck by.
When you were, do you remember like being 13 and who the person was that you really wanted to see?
I remember I really wanted to see Johnny Depp. And I got
yes. God, you're literally like me now, age 13.
Because he was nominated for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah, that was like such a huge movie then. So you would have just been like, holy shit.
Right? Like Pirates of, like him and Pirates of the Caribbean was like an Oscar film.
Yeah,
I don't know why that feels.
It's like how Renee Zellweger got nominated for Bridget Jones. It's like, imagine being that iconic that you're in this this mass movie and it still gets acknowledged.
And like, this is like, oh my God, this is how ancient I feel. I don't feel ancient, but like when I say things like this, he sent me a videotape, a cassette tape.
Wow.
The day before, like, oh, not cassette, a video, VHS tape, the day before the Oscars with like a video message on it.
That's so cute. That's really nice.
Keisha, can't wait to meet you tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Because I've like said in every interview, like, oh, I can't wait to meet Johnny Depp.
You did not play it cool.
I love you so much.
You're just like, oh my God. But yeah, it was like, you know, and it's a bizarre world. And it's a bizarre world to grow up in the sense that, you know, like you still, you work a lot, you know, and I think that I have like a lot of conflicted like ideas about it in terms of whether it's like the right thing to do or not, you know, because I think any like it's a lot of pressure for a child to work.
Yeah.
End of hours, you know, and you know, and so it's like, you know, there's like the one element of like, yeah, it's fun to do drama and it's fun, but you know, like I worked like full time from pretty much when I was 11 to like 20. I didn't take a break till I was like 21.
Yeah, you've had back-to-back jobs your whole life. And yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot now kind of a big focus has been on kind of child stars. Even Reese Witherspoon said recently in her Vanity Fair cover, she was like, yeah, I don't think the way it worked back then. I think maybe it would be very different now because people are so much more aware. But the way it worked back then, yeah. It was just like
worked, and you know, and if you were number one, like on, you know, on your film, then you were treated the way that any number one is, and you're required to be there first and leave last, and you know, set the tone for the overall kind of.
God, it must be such a weird way to grow up and go through all of these things, like puberty and being a teenager and juggling all of that with juggling being on a film set with all these fucking adults 24/7.
Oh, and being around, like I had a pretty like, you know, my mum was a single mum and like I'm the oldest of six and she's like an absolute epic legend, but she, you know, like she really like fought hard to make sure that like I just like went to school and like had a very normal upbringing and amongst like all of that kind of chaos. But it was also, you know, like it was really hard, like when I would go to work every day around adults and be treated like an adult and then like go to math class.
Yes, yes, that's where you get the little like the little bratty tone from.
No, yeah, exactly. And like go to math class and like, you know, have some teacher be like, oh, so what, like you're not gonna do this? I'll be like, nah dude.
Yes, literally, it would be such a weird adjustment.
It's funny, yeah, as well, like, though, because me and Izzy talk a lot and it's obviously not on the same level as you, but like how you, there are things that you like have ambitions for in terms of us, maybe it's like writing for a certain publication or interviewing someone or getting published here, XYZ, and there can be this strange thing that happens where you achieve that goal and your reaction, instead of being like, yeah, I'm amazing, is like, oh, is that all it is? Like you kind of, your reaction is just like, oh, okay, if I can do it, then it's just fine.
And I think that's the common kind of narrative for a lot of people, isn't it? Like who, you know, like are moving toward and achieving anything. You know, because that's the thing, is like from the outside when we look at achievement, it's so easy to understand like what that looks like. Like, oh wow, the last time I saw this person they were doing this and now I'm seeing you and you've made it here. Congratulations. You know, but
you're also really you're also great, like I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but I've noticed you never, ever will kind of shout about your accomplishments to the point where people wouldn't even really know that you're on like Dick Wolf's you're a lead role in Dick Wolf's biggest new show. Mm-hmm. And he's like the biggest fucking guy in the world. And it's so epic. And you moved to New York for that. And literally like you wouldn't even speak about it. And I don't know, is that like a conscious thing or is it just because you don't feel comfortable or you just, it's not
I don't know, I think about. It's like, I think it's just like exactly that, where it's like so deeply embedded in a part of my life. Like I'm like,
yeah, it's just work.
The things that I have and like, you know, but it's also too like, you know, and a lot of that is to do with my upbringing. Like I've been very lucky that like, it's been important that like my work always remained like my work and not like the complete makeup of who I am as a person.
Yeah,
you know, like
I love that.
And like, I love my job. I love going to work. Sometimes I hate it. Like, sometimes, like, I feel the same way about my job and, like, all of us.
Yeah, we were saying that when I was in New York.
I'm so lucky. I'm like, I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to go to work, like, whoopee. I wake up at 4 a.m, like, dude, I'm tired. I wish I could stay in bed.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm hungover and I have to go to work, like, I have to go to work with a hangover. You know, like, if I'm sick and I have to go to work, like, I have to go to work. Like, it's not. You know, like it's so funny that like you're not, just because you're doing something you want to do or you're working toward things that you have like created for yourself doesn't mean that you're exempt from like the normal human behavior, which I think is that people associate with success a lot of the time. you know, people associate, oh, like once you're successful, then you're not allowed to have feelings of normalcy. And it's like, well, no, like some days I'm just like tired, or some days, honestly, like I just go to work and it's just autopilot. Like I know how to do my job well. I've done it for 20 years. Like, you know, some days I go to work, I like hit marks and I say lines, and I'm the whole time I think about what I'm going to cook for dinner when I get home.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, and some days I'm really there and present and loving it. But, you know, like it's just, I'm just human. And I think that's just like, if anything, like I'm more conscious of that, that it's important that I like make sure that like there's like many facets to my life and it's not just about what I do.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important.
Yeah.
It can so easily become your everything.
Work. And it's just like, and it's not, you know, and it's, and because I'm a mum and like I just don't, you know, like there's, I have like a huge like anchor in that sense that like is always pull me out of that. You know, like it's like I can't, you know, like to, at the end of the day, like it was funny because my daughter like came to visit and she was the first time that she's been on set her whole life. And this time recently on the show, there was the first set she'd been on where she was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And like, I might want to learn.
Yeah. You're like, God, another one bites the dust.
Exactly. But before that, you know, like, I mean, like when I was a kid, I didn't think about what my mum did when she left the house. Like she was a superhero at home. Like I was like, I don't know. Like I never really thought about what she did for a living or like who she was as a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so I think.
And when you're a kid, you just don't. It's just your parent, like you just don't even care. Like you could be like to her, this is like Game of Thrones. I know you don't care about it because that's not a show you would watch, but Game of Thrones is quite a big show and I'm on it. And she's like, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
she's like, just like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and like she's like, yeah, well, every time you're on it, you're not here. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like to kids, you're just like, you're there or you're not.
Yeah. So funny.
It is the biggest like adult moment that you have. And like obviously becoming a parent would do that times a billion, but like that moment where you start to realize your parents are just flawed individuals who just did the best they could is the mind-blowing moment where you're just like, I'm not the whole like, planet.
Okay, gals, shall we wrap it up?
Thank you so much for coming on. It was such a bloody pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's so nice catching up with you.
It's been such a pleasure. I'm such a big fan of the show. And as you know, I've listened like right from the beginning. I listen to you guys at like 4 a.m. every week on my way to work.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I love you and I'm proud of you. And stay safe. And we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Love you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/newsadfree. That's Amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've just realized that I think I have an allergy to wine because every night I break out in like head to toe hives, like, and I started drinking. I'm on like my third glass now and I'm like, my cheeks getting flushed and it's happening. So
I'm going to have to take you to the ER. You know,
it happens every night. And then I just put myself to bed. I take that as a sign that I've probably had enough. Hi guys.
Hey Tat. Welcome. What are you doing? This highly professional setup. What are you drinking?
That's fucked.
Welcome to After Work Drinks.
I'm already drunk because you've kept me a fucking hour.
After Work Drunk.
Oh, I hate you.
I love you and I miss you.
I know, I miss you too. I always think about our Love Pugel days.
God, those were the days.
Those were the days. Remember when you could just go and like order a fucking martini?
If you wanted to, and we could get chips. What I love the most, I think, about you.
Get chips.
What I think I love the most about you as a person is how, my favorite personality trait of yours is how you order shit without asking anyone what they want.
Like what?
Like, so we were just sitting there and you're like, we'll have this, 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 and this.
I like that that's your favorite personality trait about
me. And I was like, I'm
very assertive.
This, so I just don't have to do anything. She's just like confident. She's just going to order us all the chips, the pastas. Like she was like, I want the extra salmon. You know how I have it done. And we'll also take another round of
like, she'll have it too.
And she's like, and we'll also take another round of these and this.
Was it with you and the cheese was moldy on that pasta?
No, you said that that was the time before, but you were still quite traumatized. Didn't you vomit afterwards?
I didn't vomit, but like I had like a full, you know, it. Like, Grace, they served me pasta. I was like, oh, can I get some more cheese? It was already on there. And then she brings it out and I'm like, sprinkle it on. I keep eating it. And then I look and it's all just like full fucking green. Like the parmesan is just,
that is
like,
disgusting.
Yeah, it was foul. But anyway, I still go back there.
God, what will I have to do to keep you away? They're like, we've tried everything with this bitch. We put mold in her parmesan.
Surely probably did that on purpose, like considering how fucking that shit wild we get there.
Every time I drive up that street, Izzy, the fucking scooters.
Did you guys ride like a lime scooter?
One being the operative word.
On the same one.
Yeah.
Dangerous. On a main road at like 2 a.m. in LA.
For 45 minutes to get to Keisha's house. Keisha called a big, massive taxi van. Like, God knows who everyone else was that was with us. Because the restaurant was like, get out. And then, so we were like, okay. And we're like, we'll meet you there. And she was like, why? And we're like, because we're just going to scooter there. And she's like, you know, I live like, it's like a half an hour drive away. We're like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. And then she was like, okay, I don't even know. She was like, okay. And just left. And me and you got on the one lime scooter, rode it for 45 because I checked the next day on my lime thing. It cost so much money. 45.
Yeah, it was more than an Uber.
On this lime scooter, one, like, Tat was on the front, I was on the back. And then because she was living like in Los Feliz, so it's kind of up hills. And so we'd get to this point where we couldn't ride anymore because the scooter wouldn't go up the hill. So we'd have to get off and run. It felt like the biggest race.
It was New York's fucking marathon.
The biggest race.
You're so funny. Like, I just like don't speak to you. And then I see you and you're in like, where were you with Dua Lipa? Dubai.
No, India.
I was like, where is she?
Yeah, I was in Mumbai. That was crazy. And then I just went to Australia. Oh, I have to tell you the best fucking story.
Yes.
Okay. So we were in, I was with an artist in Melbourne and we like, I don't know, finished work early, had a quiet night, went to sleep. I wake up and I'm butt naked in the hallway.
No!
Knocking on the security guard's door. So I wake up and he answers the door and I'm standing butt naked. He's like, what the fuck? It was 3 a.m. and I had slept walked out of my fucking
room. Oh my God! Do you sleep walk often?
I've never done it before. So then I was like, oh, I'm like actually losing my mind and having like a, you know, like something's not right.
Do you sleep naked or did you get naked?
I sleep naked. So I was,
you sleep naked,
naked,
okay.
Popped out of bed, knocked on his door and he's like, what the fuck?
Had you met him before? Was it?
Sorry.
I thought you meant the security of like the hotel.
Same. That's what I thought. I thought it was a stranger. And
right.
I was like, this is
the security
so
guy
fun.
Who like you traveled over there with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So like I know him and he was just like, what the fuck? I had it, you know, I grabbed like a shirt hanging from the closet because I just had to walk past the closet to get to the door. And it was just like this. Like, I just thrown it over my, like that. Just like draped over my tit, but like my whole. And he opens up, obviously he's like, what the fuck? And he's a gentleman, so he was like, are you okay? Like, what? And I was like, I woke up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm sleepwalking, whatever. So he closes the door. I go to go back in my room. Obviously, I don't have a fucking key. So I'm locked out.
This is like something out of my worst nightmare.
I was like, no, I dream about.
As she's speaking, I'm like, I'm literally putting a lock and bolt on every fucking door I sleep in from now on.
Could you imagine, like, never having slept walk before and then you're naked in a hotel hallway? So then I'm like, oh, I need to get
Stan's key.
I have to get in my room. So I like, hi, Charles.
Hi, Angel.
Hello.
Did you tell them about the part where you found like the painting?
No, I haven't got to that yet. It gets worse. Yes. So
she slides in. She's like, don't forget the painting.
So I have a shirt thrown over my shoulder. So I'm like, I have to take that off and just fully put it on. So I'm butt naked in the hallway and I have to put the shirt on.
Yeah.
And then I have to go down in the elevator to the lobby, pull it down long enough to pretend like it's a nightie or something and get a new cape. Anyway, I go back.
Oh my God.
In bed, I call her and I'm like bawling my eyes out. Like, cause then I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
It was dark.
It was really dark. Like, now it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I obviously couldn't go back to sleep. I had work at like 7 a.m. the next day. I get out of bed in the morning and the painting, there was like one like artwork on the wall, was just off the wall. Just like taking that off and then headed out.
Stop yourself leaving again?
No, like I had done that in my sleepwalking.
What the fuck was your little pea brain doing?
I wonder what you were doing. Like, it sounds like you were trying to steal the painting.
And then just...
No, then when you first said that, I thought you stole, like, something from the hallway or
something. Oh, yeah, me too. Like, I was on FaceTime to her, and I was like, what the fuck? Why is the painting on the floor? And she's like, where's it from? And I'm like, I've never seen this painting before. It turns out it was just on the floor. And I
had taken it. I've never seen this painting. It's like the Mona Lisa.
The next day at work, I was like... Obviously, and I had to fucking see him. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I'm so anxious. I'm like, fuck, like, he's head of security. I bet, like, everyone knows. Like, anyway, so I'm like, fuck, I've got to talk to him. So I was like, hey, what happened? He was like, oh, you just knocked on my door. And I asked what was wrong. And you said you were just looking for the bathroom. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, so that was fun.
For the bathroom.
That's the only time you've slept walked before or since. It's never happened again.
My whole life.
That's freaking me out.
It's like a bit creepy. Like the thought of you on autopilot doing all these like random assortment of like tasks that make no sense and then walking to like a random door.
My friend did that and pissed in her cat's bed. She got up and walked butt naked. It's always butt naked into her parents' room. And her parents were like, this isn't your room. And then she turned on their light. It was like 2 a.m. She turned on their light. And her mum and dad were like, what the fuck? And then she walked into their bathroom, got in their bath and was standing there butt naked. And they're like, what are you doing? She was like, looking for the toilet. Same. And then she walked out of their room and walked downstairs. And they like peeked out and were watching her. And her sister like came out, walks downstairs, turned on the lights. And then just like stood across her cat's bed and was like. And just said,
oh my God.
I
woke up because I obviously didn't know what happened. So I was like, fuck. If I was looking for the bathroom, like, did I piss in the hallway? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, what did I do? Anyway, it's fine. I don't think I did. And everyone had a good laugh. So I was really fucked up.
Holy shit.
That's a great story.
So how are you guys doing during all this?
We're fine. I don't know. I feel like part of me likes it. I don't like what's happening to the world, but like part of me likes being trapped inside and having no social obligations.
I felt like I was working so much to keep myself busy, and then work has all just basically been cancelled. So it's been good because I've been like focusing on the podcast, chilling, working out again, like doing all these little things for my brain that my therapist was like, please do all these things. And I was like, can't. I'll just pay you fucking £200 a week to tell me to do it, and then I just won't do it.
You're like, help me, make me better, and she tells you.
She's literally been like, read this book,
not that,
whatever, and then I finally got it this week after like 2 months of her telling me to read it, and it's like the best book ever. And I was like, sorry.
What is it?
Well, The Body Keeps the Score.
I've heard of it.
But yeah, it's like about like trauma and how your body holds it in. And so, because you know how like I feel anxiety and stuff in such physical ways. So like right before our breakup, I was literally vomiting and had cramps and like was like fucked. and then just like all this brain shit was coming out in my body. And so it's like really, really, really interesting. When I put it in our Facebook group, so many people have read it. It makes you want to go and fucking study psychotherapy, wow. Whatever he studied.
Yeah. Seriously, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So even Grace, like one part reminded me of us. You know how like when loud noises give us a massive fright and we get super on edge and we feel like we're going to cry. He was like, that's like a sign of basically trauma or your body not responding properly because it will be something that it's like triggering something from the past. It's like so crazy.
Wow. Right.
So interesting. I've got it on Audible.
God.
We have a real situation with Audible.
And then getting charged for like so much money and not even knowing how to use it.
I mean, what is that? Is that where they read the book or is that the one where they cut the book down to like 4 seconds?
No, it's not that one.
That's something that I need, Harry.
Yeah, like we're obsessed with the podcast Who Weekly, and they've been doing a lot of spawn for this company. Like the name escapes me, but it's basically just like, don't have time to read books. This company basically makes audiobooks that are like condensed versions, like all the like most relevant like parts key of points. Popular books. So you can you can read a whole book in like a half hour.
So you know, really so many people do that. Like so many real like rich and busy and famous people, like CEOs and shit, do that where they read like the synopsis of a book so that they know what went on in it so that they can have dinner party conversations.
Didn't we used to do
that's
that?
That's random.
What are Cliff's those things?
Notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Cliff's notes basically, but it's awkward to like have to listen to people doing SpawnCon for that now because it's all like don't have time to read a book.
I tried to get Grace into Weekly, and she just ignored me for ages, and then I realized that she thought it was Who Magazine's podcast.
Oh no.
Because it's like the same font. I was like, "Is it? I don't think this is my bag." But now I'm aware that it is.
What's the superior one? Who Magazine? They talked about Who Magazine on Who Weekly quite often because they're like shocking that they haven't sued us yet. You know, whatever.
Because like you can't. I mean, obviously it's an Australian magazine. It's not.
Yeah, but what's the Australian tabloid that I like? Like not Who. What's the other one?
I don't know. What else? What's the other ones?
New Idea. NW, okay, hello.
It's something that's like a bridge.
Yeah,
like,
and yeah.
And is it?
Yeah, New Idea, is that what it is?
Yeah.
New Idea, yeah.
How do you like that?
Why not?
That one's good.
I don't know how that you even differentiate them. It's impressive.
It's the better one.
She's like, oh, this one's so good. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like Delta Goodrum, like seen in Cook Eye.
Yeah.
Have better caliber of like paparazzi photos than others, and I feel like that one is much better than Who. I had higher like hopes for Who,
right. Grace, it is such a funny podcast. Tat, what is your recommendation that you're bringing to our
I think I'm the last person you should ask for a quarantine. I've been doing everything that you shouldn't do.
Go on. Like,
I just drink from like when we wait, well she doesn't. But I drink from very early on.
I think they're looking for like podcast recommendations.
No, you can't. Recommend
drink from dawn till dusk.
Well, yeah, I mean, but my I don't know. I bought some clay. I've been making some clay things. They're good. I'll show you guys.
Yeah, you can see.
I mean, honestly, I don't. Have you guys seen the show Work in Progress?
No.
Okay, well,
that's what I recommend. It's the best.
What's it on?
Showtime. But you can watch it on Hulu with the Showtime.
Yeah, like that's not Australia.
Oh, it's probably on Stan then. Everything.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Like, it's about like a middle-aged butch lady that's like depressed, and it's basically she's suicidal. She's not just depressed. Like she's like very deeply unhappy. But it's just like a very black comedy.
It's really good
about her life and her love life, and it's just kind of like it's really unique and witty. Anyway, that was your rec. I'm sorry.
No, please jump in with yours, Chelsea.
Yeah, do you have one, Chelsea?
Aside from my favorite podcast, Who Weekly, my favorite podcast aside from your guys's podcast, that is
of course.
What else? This. I'm obsessed with this lip balm. It's by Wary Myers.
It just says lip balm on it.
Yeah, it tastes like a tropical beverage. It's so great. It's one of the like cannabis products that I'm really digging right now. Ooh. Also, wait, let me get the other tips.
You know it's a podcast, so when we keep showing things, no one can see them. Oh, sorry.
That's fine. We're recording video too.
My tip is the Wary Myers CBD lip balm and the Pure Beauty marijuana cigarettes.
Okay.
They're not like joints. They're not quite as strong as a joint. So you can smoke it. I'm an ex-cigarette smoker. So you can smoke it like a cigarette and not get like extremely high. Which I like.
I mean,
although Tat's more of a lightweight, so
she's like, just smoke like
I get so high off like one. I can literally just smell marijuana from the other room, and I'm like tripping out.
Same, and I'm on the ground. Yeah.
You don't take Chelsea's advice; they get you high for sure.
Anyway, this is my saving grace during quarantine.
Love. I love the lip balm, Rick. I have been because literally here you can't order delivery food. You can't order anything. Like New Zealand is so fully shut down. You can't get anything. Like you literally can do nothing except go to the supermarket. And so because of that, I've been like freaking out and trying to figure out how to spend money. And so last night I went on Mecca, and even though it's like not even shipping, I just bought like so much crap.
I've done two huge fucking Sephora shops. I've spent like the only money I had left on the exact like $80 fucking eye masks and shit. I'm like,
I had one of those last night.
Ugh, it's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are so lucky to have Mecca. Mecca is so much better than Sephora. Like Sephora kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like
Mecca is so good.
It's so good. Not the Mecca that's like has lower standards. The Mecca that has higher. I'm a dumb American. I don't know. You know how
it's
like
Mecca Maxima or whatever, and then there's the normal one. Like the normal one.
Cosmetica.
Like the small curated one with all the good candles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Chelsea came to like visit Australia for the first time.
It's my favorite place in Australia. Double K.
Double K. That's so funny. You're such a Sydney cider. Wait, get a juice at Orchard Street. My
favorite place is Chargrill Charlie's. Let's be real.
Chargrill Charlie's is good. Oprah went there once.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, remember?
That's yeah.
I showed you the photo on the wall.
There's a photo of her on the wall at Chargrill Charlie's.
I forgot about that. Last time I went there, I literally bought like merch from Chargrill Charlie's. Like, I only have like a reusable shopping bag with the like chicken on it and everything. So good.
What did you say the other day? And I was like, what the fuck? You were like, if I could just have one thing in the whole world, the only thing I would ask for is the sea.
Oh God, it cut out at the worst time then. Yeah, what was the thing?
It would be the Caesar salad from Chargrill Charlie's.
Like
salad, and then also the pad thai, and then also chicken, obviously.
So is this your quarantine?
If you live in Australia, get delivery from Chargrill Charlie's. If it's good enough for Oprah.
Using the code AfterWork10.
Yeah, fuck, we need them to sponsor us.
Oh, yeah, totally.
They used to send, like, platters of chips to work sometimes, like, just unprompted. That was really good.
I thought you were going to tell them outside about iCream.
Oh, yeah, this was funny.
Please do.
She...
You, like, really slammed that rosé down.
I have the Glossier eye cream because I'm a basic bitch and I buy pretty much everything that they make. If it's like that kind of thing. Like I can't help it. I'm not really a makeup person. So I think the fact that it's such an accessible price point and it's just, I don't know. I just do. So I was like dabbing on my eye cream and she was like, you know, that's not anti-aging, right? I was like, excuse me. And she was like, it's not anti-aging. And I was like, how do you know that? And she was like, because I like was looking at a comment thread for it and like saw that like it's not anti-aging, it's just like super hydrating or something. And I was like, bitch, okay, so you like
You like saved
this is literally the epitome of a fight.
Yes, I feel like the sitting on the information until the opportune moment is like interesting. Like,
you know what I mean? I mean, I'm just trying to help you out. Help me not age, apparently. Like, fuck. She's 11 years younger than me for the listeners out there. So it is a bit of a dick move.
Sorry,
know?
I was just saying, like, it's not like it doesn't have any, like, healing properties. It's literally, you may as well just slap it up.
Have any healing properties?
Healing properties?
No, it's not.
It's not medicinal. Like,
no, it's just like you're just putting like lotion on your face. You know, it was just like, just in case you didn't know, it's not anti.
Anyway, then she like bought this eye cream, basically. But it's more like yours. Like, I just still.
No, I bought it for you. But
it's good though. That's what. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oleg
Henderson?
Oh, yeah, the banana one.
The one that people, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard of that. Like, I didn't know that people frothed that.
Yeah, it's like a little orange tub. I've used it before. I've never used an eye cream that I've noticed has made a sizable difference on my face. Yeah.
I don't think skincare, I think it's all bullshit. That's my theory. Like, I really do. Look, I know it's not total bullshit for everyone. I know that there are people with like dermatologists. Like, I've seen certain people's skin and I've been like, fuck. But for me, it doesn't matter if I use something cheap, expensive, whatever. Yeah, my skin is pretty much the same no matter what I put on it.
No, but what about when you get old and you start getting wrinkles and it's going to, if you use anti-aging products.
Oh my God.
Or so they want us to believe. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's just kind of genes. Like, you either like age prematurely or you don't.
Last night when I was ordering a cleanser, I was like to my friend, I was like, how do you even know if a cleanser is good? She was like, I don't know, if it just works for you. I was like, what does that mean?
It's like the packaging, you like the smell. I'm sorry. Like, it's really that, or the consistency.
Yeah.
It's really, it's like the sight, smells, touch. Like, it is literally, that's what it is.
Yeah. I was like, well, fuck, I don't know. I'm just going to order. I ordered that Mario cleanser. Which is like so cheap and it had so many good reviews. I'm a sucker for reviews. I actually like get into this black hole of reviews and then I'm like, I need to buy this fucking thing.
My one thing I've been doing obsessively during quarantine is shopping on anywhere, Amazon, Sephora, same thing. And like, I'll have like a couple wines and then I'll get really deep in the reviews. Like, so deep that I know like everyone's life story. Like, I know how they use the product and I'm like an electric whisk or something.
I do that on Amazon all the time.
I haven't ordered it yet because I can't decide between, there's two and the reviews are just fucking, you know, competing.
They're neck and neck.
How have you found being stuck in a house together?
Oh, I'm gonna fucking kill her.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's kind of like this cosmic fuckery because we were in a long distance relationship for so long where we had the opposite problem, me being in LA and her being in Australia. And
yeah, we were apart for so, we spent so much fucking time apart. And then, I mean, the other day, I've turned into a real fucking asshole during all of this. I've just been like so snappy and rude and I blame everything on her, but she was like, remember when we were apart and you said I'd give anything to just spend every day with you? And I'm like, fuck yeah.
What happens though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I just feel like going from one extreme to the other extreme. I've been keeping pretty regular work hours during this and Tat like has been very respectful of that, which is nice for two people living in a tiny apartment. But it means that the second I stop working at 6 o'clock, like there's been like 20 things that I've done that have like annoyed her all day that she has like made up.
Save them all.
And then saves them up. And then by the time it's like, it literally like the clock hand like turns 6 and she turns into like a monster.
Well, because Charles will be like, hi babe, like I'm finished work. And I'm like,
Ooh, like, she literally will bring up something that happened at like 10 a.m. And I'm like, what?
Hey, my
and then she apologizes like 2 hours later and is like, I
every
just don't know. Like, I'm just stressed out. And it's like, yeah, we're all stressed out.
I
like,
mean, look, I get that. I won't take all the blame. You are pretty fucking annoying. Like,
this is like the worst Esther Perel episode ever.
Yeah.
But we've been pretty good, I would say.
No, we have been pretty good. How about you, Grace?
We haven't had a consistently long,
yeah,
especially bad one or anything.
I smashed a bowl during a fight. Oh. Our sink is like granite. It sounds much more like aggro than it was intended to be. We were literally arguing about washing out the dishes and I was like, oh, and just like dropped it down and like smashed it. It felt very dramatic. But I think it's a mix of two things. It's like pent up energy, I've realized, is a massive thing because you're expending so much energy in an average day, just going from A to B, using your brain, meeting people, that I think you don't think about. And when you're sitting still all the time, I feel like I just have this like energy that I want to expend. And I think it can just turn into like chucking it at the person that's nearest to you.
And I feel like it comes out in different ways. It either comes out in like, oh, I love you. Like, hug me. Like,
let's yeah. Have
some, let's, or it's like, I fucking hate you. Like, it's really, it does.
Yes. It's like 10 seasons in a day. That's what I'm like. I'm like really jokey and silly or really aggro or get like weird about something or get really happy about something. Yeah. It's like being in a house with a toddler.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's just being stuck in the same place. You just get so, I don't even realize it. And I realize that I'm being like really snappy and wound up and I'm just like, fuck. And then I go for a walk or something. And then I'm just like, oh, okay.
I mean, also, I think everyone is just like clearly fucking terrified. Like, you know, so it, for me anyway, that comes out. Like, I'm like worried about my parents. I'm like, why are you still going to the fucking grocery store? So then I'm like, I get off the phone to them and I'm like angry and anxious kind of. And then she's the only one to take it out on. So it's just like,
Yes, that's the other thing I was going to say is where I feel like it's like this weird type of anxiety where it's like playing all in the back of your brain. Like I don't feel consciously actively anxious about what's going on. I feel relaxed, but I'm obviously stressing about it a lot in this kind of Freudian, like a few layers deep way that's expressing itself in weird ways that I'm not like actively thinking about, which I think is strange because everyone's in that position of this is fucked, but we're all trying to act like it's okay, but it's fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I think that everyone has what I like to call like weird COVID-19 narratives, doomsday scenarios in their heads all the time. Like, for example, I have one about my parents. I have one about my friends in New York. I have one about my friends in Australia and Tat's parents, you know. I have ones about my friends that it's like, you know, everyone just
have
has
these horror stories in your heads. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my friend that's a nurse, my friend that, you know, is immunocompromised. But, you know, it's like there's all these, you think about all these things in the back of your head all the time, you know.
You know how if any of us lost our job individually, everyone would like come around you and be like, holy shit, are you okay? Oh my God, what are we going to do? We're going to sort this out, blah, blah, blah. But because it's happening to everyone, there's like no time.
Yeah,
to be totally doing that. And you can't just have to just cop it.
Yeah, you can't even be like, oh my God, poor me or poor you. It's like everyone's fucked, you know. It's
that aspect of it is nice, I guess,
that we're like all in it.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, but I don't know, I feel like that messaging is a little weird because it's like, yeah, on some level we are all in it together, but it's like then there are people that die from this shit. Like, we're not all in it together, actually. Like, there's, you know,
or like we have like a roof over our head.
Yeah, exactly. There's all these factors.
Well,
anything that's good, we live in such a narcissistic culture, I think. Anything that like makes us think about us as a collective, I think, is valuable, you know.
Totally.
I mean, I know
maybe
one
we'll
thing
slow down a bit. That's my only hope. You know,
me too. I hope people kind of take this as a yes, like this whole time where we've had to stop to just be like, oh, this is actually kind of nice to just slow down a little bit.
Yeah, that rising glorification of that like rise and grind lifestyle is bullshit, I think. And this, you know,
Same. And it's such a weird thing because it gets so ingrained in your head. I literally feel so lazy all the time if I'm not super, super busy. That's how I've been for years. And I even was talking to my therapist about it. And I was like, I just feel so guilty that even when I went freelance, I would, if I slept in till, I don't know, 8 or 8:30 in the morning, if I was super tired, I would just feel so lazy. I was like, you are literally a piece of fucking shit. Like,
yeah.
I'd, just so be like, I'd be like, get out of bed, go to the wing. And then I'd force myself to go there every day. And then some days I was there and I was like, oh my God, just go home. Like literally go home, do your washing, work on the couch. That's why you are fucking working for yourself. But it's just in your brain that you have to be doing all this shit all the time or you're like not succeeding. And then now it's been so nice because I literally don't have work. And so I've just been chilling and doing podcast stuff and stuff that I actually really enjoy. And then I'm like, this is fucking fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's so Chelsea. I feel like I'm the opposite. Like I feel guilty if like I go to work too many days in a row. I'm like, fuck, I really need some me time.
I'm more your vibe. I'm like, I know how to give myself a break.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie and I went and saw Oprah like right before this whole thing happened. We saw her like live in LA, like this big stadium tour.
Oh yeah, we saw her like when she fell. Did you guys see that? Oh, like
yeah. Wow.
She tripped on stage. Live.
And we you like, saw that.
Yeah, you like heard her like.
Oh my god!
And everyone was so.
That was a fucking sign of things to come, if yeah. I ever heard one.
Yeah, right. Totally. It's like, and the tour was called 2020 Your Vision. Right?
Yeah, it was like, no, you're like.
That was like the butterfly effect that led to the global pandemic. It started.
It Oprah took a trip, and then it fucking coronavirus came out. But Oprah said something like, she was talking to the whole stadium as though everyone like overworks themselves and like is too hard on themselves. And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, you know, like sometimes you just need to rest. Like it's okay to sleep in. It's okay to rest. And like in Oprah's like beautiful voice just like coming out. And then like I think it was literally that night I drank like 6 bottles of wine, and the next morning it was like 12. It was like 12 p.m. and Chelsea was like, "Tap, get out of bed." And I'm like, Oprah told me it was okay to rest.
Oprah told me this was okay.
That's not what she meant.
I know. Oprah's like, once you've finished with like charity, you can have a little.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And it's like sponsored by Weight Watchers and shit. It's like once you've like, you know, like done your goals and like set your goals for the week and done all that, like then gives,
then let like, yourself rest.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh, that's so good.
Guys, I'm going to have to love you. And love you.
All right. Guys, this was fun.
Yeah.
Love ya.
Did we even get anything usable for your podcast?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.